As a matter of fact, one great Bible scholar said that the Bible says has more to say about the millennium than it does any other prophetic event. You know, when you talk about the rapture, you talk about the tribulation, you talk about Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, the great white throne judgment, the Bema Seat judgment, heaven, hell, that the Bible says more about the millennium than it does any other prophetic event. So that's what we're going to look at this week and next week.
Welcome to Incurred in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Inster and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Anya Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Millennium Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Millennium Part 1.
We have looked at a lot of things in prophecy, but we want to get a good understanding of the millennium. You know, a lot of people think that when we die or when the rapture comes, that we go to heaven and that we'll be there for eternity. But that's not true. Actually, we're coming back to this earth for 1,000 years. So, you know, we need to understand, you know, I'm going to do what many of you know. I wrote a book on heaven. So at some point I'll do a teaching on heaven. But the millennium is very important. A lot of times people want to just look past it, but that's an essential part of our future, the millennium. And you know, there's some exciting things about the millennium. We might not get to it this week, but one of the things that, you know, I was excited about as I study is that one of the things the Bible says that we will do as believers, that we will rule and reign with Jesus. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Luke, it says that he will give us, you know, if we've been faithful in this life, that he will give us cities to rule. So in the millennium, you know, we will rule cities. So I already put my request in for Durango, Colorado. I love it out there. You know, that's where I went to college at. If you ever go through Colorado, go through Durango, one of the most beautiful cities on the face of this earth. Just a lovely place. So I already got my request in. I don't know how many other people got their request in for Durango, but I put my request in to the Lord. So, you know, what is your favorite city? You know, what city do you like the most? You know, it says that we will rule and reign with Christ. And again, we might not get to it this week, but next week, you know, we're going to look at the fact that it does say that we will, you know, that God will give us cities to rule. And then, you know, there's a whole lot of other exciting things that are going on during the millennium. So, you know, we want to know. And you know, things will continue just like they are now. You know, we'll have stores. Now, we'll be in our glorified bodies, right? But there will be people that will come out of the tribulation and go into the millennium, and they will still be in their natural bodies. They will still continue to have children, and their children will have children. And so, you know, we're going to, as the saints, we're going to rule and reign over those individuals. And, you know, when we think about what we're going to do, you know, we're going to do a lot of the same things that we do right now. But, you know, again, we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. So let's jump into this. All right. So we are looking at the millennium, Christ's rule on earth. in Revelation, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Revelation 20, I didn't have these verses put on the PowerPoint, so I'm going to read them. And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Revelation 20, you can follow along. In Revelation 20, in verse 1, John records, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." So again, I think that I'm not sure if I'm going to get to this today either, but notice verse 2. This angel comes, he has a chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the devil or the dragon, that old serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Saints, one of the greatest things about the millennium is that we won't have to deal with the devil. That, you know, we look at the struggles that we have every day. So when I say the devil, I mean demons and all his cohorts, that when we come back on this earth for 1,000 years, that we will not have to deal with Satan, because he's going to be bound and thrown into a pit. Verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive." See, one of Satan's greatest tactics today is deception. He's got a whole lot of people deceived. He's got people deceived in the thinking that you can get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. He's got people deceived, making them think that they can live any old kind of life and still make it into heaven. He's got people deceived, even some people that grew up in the church. He's got people deceived into thinking that the Bible has errors. He's got people deceived into thinking that Jesus was a myth or a legend. He's got people deceived in making people think that Jesus Christ is not God. He's got people deceived into making people think that we got here, as I heard somebody say, through goo to you by the way of the zoo, right? He's got people deceived into thinking that, you know, we came from some primordial slime. He's got people deceived in many, many ways. But for that 1,000 years, now we as saints, as rulers with Christ during this 1,000 years, we won't be deceived because we are already saved. You know, we already have been blood washed. You know, our salvation is secure. You know, our minds are sanctified and set on Christ. So we don't have to worry about the deception anyways. But the people, again, who will enter into the millennium will be in their natural bodies, and they will continue to have children, and their children will have children. And so at the end of the 1,000 years, when Satan is loosed, again, he's going to start his program of deception once again. And so many of those individuals, even though they had 1,000 years where Christ reigned in righteousness, in peace, in joy, in all those good things, he'll be loosed at the end of that 1,000 years, and he will deceive many. But it says here in verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Now look at, who's that? Who's that talking about? That's talking about me and you. We're going to sit upon thrones. We're going to rule and reign with Christ during the millennium. right? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ, how long? 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Such on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall, look at this, shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So you'll notice that I kept putting emphasis on 1,000 years. And I'm gonna show you why here in a second. According to Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5, Jesus Christ will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, this term, 1,000 years, actually comes from two Greek words, chileia and eta, which means 1,000 years. Now, so if I was to ask you right now, give me two things or two biblical concepts that we believe that's not in the Bible, all of you should say the rapture and the Trinity, right? You will not find the word rapture in the Bible. You will not find the word Trinity in the Bible, but the concepts are all throughout the Bible. So let me give you another word that you will not find in the Bible. You will not find the word millennium in the Bible. It is not found in the Bible. So where does this word millennium come from? It is a Latin word, and it's actually taken from two Latin words, mille, which is 1,000, and annum, which is year. Millennium, right? Which is translated millennium. So that's where we get the word millennium from. You know, again, as we look at the Greek word, the two Greek words are chileia, which is 1,000s, and eta, which is years. But we get the word millennium from the Greek. I mean, not from the Greek, from Latin. And it means 1,000 years. All right. So again, that's three concepts that we as Christians believe that's not found in the Bible. Rapture, Trinity, and now we add another word to that, millennium. But as we're going to see over the next 2 weeks, the concept of the millennium is imprinted indelibly upon the Bible. As a matter of fact, one great Bible scholar said that the Bible says has more to say about the millennium than it does any other prophetic event. You know, when you talk about the rapture, you talk about the tribulation, you talk about Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, the great white throne judgment, the Bema Seat judgment, heaven, hell, that the Bible says more about the millennium than it does any other prophetic event. So that's what we're going to look at this week and next week. The millennium, it refers to a future time when Christ will literally reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Notice one key word in there, literally, that he will literally reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Now, let's go back over the prophetic events on the calendar, on God's prophetic calendar. Start with me on the left, and then follow through with me, right? At the bottom is Earth, which is where we are. At the top, you see a cloud representing heaven, which is where the presence of God is. The first thing, when we look at the Earth and we move to the right, we see that we, at this present moment, are in the church age. That's where we are at the present, in the church age. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture. And that's when Christ comes back for the church. And he receives us into heaven. Now, once we are taken out, notice what happens here on this earth. The tribulation begins. 7 years of tribulation. Now, let's go up to heaven. While the tribulation is taking place here on earth, in heaven, we will be receiving our rewards and we will celebrate the marriage of the Lamb. At the end of the tribulation on this earth, Christ comes back, and that is the Battle of Armageddon. And after the Battle of Armageddon is when he sets up his millennial kingdom. And that's where he reigns for 1,000 years. So that kind of gives us a little prophetic overview, right? So we see where the millennium is located on God's prophetic calendar. Now, not everybody believes like us, as I pointed out time and time again, that there are people that don't see things the same way that we do, right? There are, some of them may even be your friends. I know I have some pastor friends that don't believe this right here. They believe other views. So let's look at real quick what they believe, all right? There is what's called post-millennial and amillennial. So I'm not trying to overwhelm you with these big words, but you know, some of your good friends that might be in another denomination, they might be Catholic, they might be Lutheran, they might be Presbyterian. So they would not believe like we believe, all right? So what does post-millennial believe? Basically, is that because of the church, things are going to get better and better and better and better. And one day, Christ is going to say, man, the church really got this thing together. This world is so good that I'm just going to come back and set up my kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. All right? So that's post-millennial, right? Now, I see big problems with that. You know, all you got to do is look at today and see a man, young man, that went in and shot up 20 people in a school, right? It don't seem like things are getting better to me. You know, you look at the war over in Ukraine, where people are being killed every day. People are losing their homes. People are becoming refugees. Somebody answer this question. Is it getting better? It don't look like it to me. As a matter of fact, Marvin Gaye, he said this: it makes you want to holler and throw up both your hands, right? When you look at the way things are going in the world, it makes you want to holler and throw up both of your hands. So this post-millennial view that says that because of the church, things are going to get better and better and better, and then Jesus is just going to one day come back and say, hey, man, you guys did a good job. Let me just set up my kingdom. Well, you know, I see some big problems with that. And There is the other view, which basically said is amillennial. And what this view pretty much says is that, you know, they were looking for Jesus to come back in the first century. You know, that Jesus said that, remember in Acts 1, when he was caught up and the angels said, you know, this same Jesus, the way he went up, he's coming back again. So they were looking for Jesus to come back. And when Jesus didn't come back, you know what they said? That he actually came back in the church. And that now the church is the millennium. That the church age is the spiritual reign of Christ. That Christ is now reigning through the church. And that's the millennium. So we are Bethany Baptist Church, Mount Aaron Baptist Church, Covenant Church of Pittsburgh. It says that we are the millennium, that we are the spiritual reign of Jesus Christ. But if you remember, what did I emphasize over and over again when I read the scriptures? I said that he reigned for 1,000 years. Not that the church reigned for 1,000 years, not that he came back to reign through the church for 1,000 years, but that Jesus Christ literally reigned for 1,000 years. So again, you probably have friends that believe one of these views right here. And as you can look at these views, you can see that there's some serious issues with both of them, right? There's, you know, the issue with postmillennial is that they say the world is becoming better and better. Well, you know, again, I don't see that. I need for somebody to sit down and show me how that's happening. And then the amillennial says that Christ is reigning through his church. But Revelation 20 says that, you know, he's going to reign literally for 1,000 years. So there's problems with both of these views right here. So I'd rather just go back to this old premillennial view that says that one day Jesus is going to come back and he's going to set up his kingdom and that he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. All right. Who are the citizens of the millennium? Who will inhabit the millennium? There's two groups of people that will inhabit the millennium. The first group is the righteous of all ages. So you go back to the Old Testament, you know, the Jewish saints, right? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs, that, you know, they will be a part of the millennial kingdom. Old Testament Gentiles that got saved. Right? A perfect example, remember in the book of Jonah, where those Gentile sailors, they were on the boat with Jonah and a storm came up and they were trying to figure out why this storm came on them, and they finally figured out it was because of Jonah. And then Jonah said, well, throw me overboard. And they didn't want to do it at first, but eventually they threw him overboard. And you remember what the Bible says in Jonah 1:16? These Gentile sailors, now these weren't Jewish sailors, they were Gentile sailors. It said they feared God and they began to offer sacrifices.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Millennium Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Millennium Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Millennium Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Millennium Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus 4, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send a financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.